what you want, tell me what you see, where you wanna go, what you wanna be. If you have a dream, you can make it there with a lot of work and a lot of prayer. If you take your time, gotta be precise, gotta have a plan, double check it twice. Wait, hold up, slow down, devil need advice. Someone's gone before, maybe talk to them, then after you do, go and talk to him. Wait, it's gonna come, maybe not tonight, take your time today, future's looking bright.
Got a lot of friends, made a lot of ends, Twitter, you the trend, him a Bentley Benz, but she moving kinda fast. Keep sweats, you gotta make it last, live every day like it's your last, but don't forget to have a blast.
Welcome, welcome. You are listening to Time Out. I'm your host, Sylvia Crawley. Tonight, we are discussing the issue of bullying. We will hear tonight from victims of bullying, from parents of children who have been currently bullied or bullied in the past. We'll hear from teachers, activists, and more. I read someone's email post that was talking about a kid at their school who was bullied, and they were, posting and keeping us posted on the progress of this whole incident. You know, they said that they were going to talk to the parents and they were going to, you know, talk to the kid. And so they, you know, were just keeping us up to date on what was going on with that. And I was keeping up with it and following it, and it brought the issue of bullying to my attention. And then I ran across some alarming statistics that confirmed that I should do this on my show tonight. And I want to read some of those statistics to you. It is estimated that 160,000 children miss school every day due to fear of attack or intimidation by other students. And this is according to the National Education Association. And then it says, American schools harbor approximately 2.1 million bullies and 2.7 million of their victims. 56% of students have personally witnessed some type of bullying at school. 15% of all absenteeism is directly related to fear of being bullied at school. 71% of students report incidents of bullying as a problem at their school. 1 out of 20 students have seen a student with a gun at school. 282,000 students are physically attacked in secondary schools each month. 90% of 4th through 8th graders report being victims of bullying. Among students, homicide perpetrators were more than twice as likely as homicide victims to have been bullied by peers. 87% of students said shootings are motivated by a desire to get back at those who have hurt them. And then 54% of students said witnessing physical abuse at home can lead to violence in school, and that was a survey that they took. And then harassment and bullying have been linked to 75% of school shooting incidents, and the numbers continue to rise every month. So this is a statistic that is very hard for them to track and even keep because the numbers are constantly changing. Before we move forward for the basis of our discussion, I think it's important for us to define bullying, because some people will argue that name calling is not really bullying. It's just when someone enters your personal space that it becomes serious and really considered bullying. So I have Sarah Bush on the line, and she's from the Pacers National Bullying Prevention Center. Sarah, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, thank you for being on the show tonight. I apologize if you're having to stay at work late, but I really want to thank you for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So, Sarah, can you tell us how your organization defines bullying?
Sure. Well, I have to start out by saying that there is no federal definition of bullying, so actually each state can define it differently. So each state's law about bullying, or lack thereof, defines bullying differently. But there are three sort of points that we as an organization talk about, as well as that are pretty common among bullying prevention, or excuse me, bullying laws and definitions among states. So those three points are that the behavior hurts or harms another person physically or emotionally. The second point is that the targets have difficulty stopping the behavior that's directed at them and struggle to defend themselves. And that one's pretty important, especially related to what you were talking about earlier, about name-calling, because for one thing, name-calling is one of those things that can be bullying in some situations and can be not bullying in others. For instance, when friends are joking around and teasing each other, if no one's really having their feelings hurt or no one really has trouble stopping it, then it's not considered bullying. But in other instances, it might be. And the final point is that many definitions, not all, but many, include a statement about the imbalance of power, which means that the student who is doing the bullying has more power than the other student. And this power can take physical, social, or emotional form. So physical power is pretty self-explanatory, as is social power. But emotional power can be when someone sort of can get under another student's skin or just has some way of impacting them emotionally. Those are the three points that we talk about. But I think it's also important to point out that as an organization, we try very hard to avoid using the term bully, because part of our mission is to talk about how bullying is a behavior. It's not a profile. You know, there isn't one type of person that bullies others. It can be really anyone. And what's really important about that is that by not labeling a child as a bully, you give them the opportunity to change their behavior. Because once you label a child as a bully, that label can stick with them for the rest of their school career. And another important thing is that there's also something called the cycle of bullying, which means that many students who bully others are also being bullied themselves. So it's really both not accurate and not effective to label them as bullies, because they may be experiencing some pretty awful things themselves from other students. So we try and talk about bullying behavior in the attempt to give those students who are engaging in that behavior a chance to change that behavior.
Right. And so, Sarah, can you tell us what campaigns or initiatives that your program has or offers to people who want to take a stand against bullying?
Sure. I think the biggest one that we've had going on for the longest is our petition, which is people signing on to say that they will speak out against bullying and they won't bully others. We also have, it's not as much of a petition as sort of a crowdsourcing comment line, if you will, called I Care Because. So people can write in and tell us why they care about bullying prevention. And we've heard from students all across the world who want to tell us why they care about bullying prevention. And honestly, some of these comments will just break your heart about what students have gone through. But there are other students who it will say, you know, I haven't experienced bullying myself, but I see what's written on here and I want to do something. Or even, you know, more heartbreaking sometimes are the students who write in and say, I've been bullying others for years and I never knew what it was doing to them, but I read through this and now I know and now I'm going to stop. Mm-hmm. So those are some pretty easy ways to get involved online, just to sort of put the voice out there. And that's really important for students to be able to put their voice out there. If you're an adult and you're, you know, a teacher or a parent or just an adult who cares about the kids in their community, we have some other ways as well to get involved. We have toolkits for community events as well as classroom discussions about bullying. We have a community events calendar that you can find some local events to get involved in. We also always welcome support for our programs financially as well as just spreading the word about our programs. And I did want to share a really special new program that we have going called the We Will Generation. And this is based on the idea that students are the ones who will be the change makers to prevent bullying and to stop this bullying epidemic in our schools. So what this program does is give students these very concrete, very easy-to-use resources and tools to bring to their schools and to implement in their schools to make a real change. And it's based on the idea that students teaching students is the most effective way to talk about bullying prevention, because you know, a teacher or a parent can stand in front of a group of kids and you can see that their eyes kind of glass over. You know, they're so used to having teachers talk to them about bullying. But when they have an older student come in, you know, a high school student comes into a middle school classroom, and all of a sudden the issue takes on this whole new life. So that's one of our new programs that we're pushing out to schools. It's all free and it's all available online, and it's a great way to get your students involved.
Right. Now, Sarah, tell our listeners how they can find out more about your organization, what's your website, or even if they are a victim of being bullied, where they can reach out to.
All of our information is available on our website at pacer.org/bullying. So that's pacer.org/bullying. And all of our resources are free. You can find them all there. We do have two other websites that are linked to through that portal website. One that's designed specifically for kids, so it's bright, colorful, lots of animation. And there's one that's designed for teens, and it was actually designed with input from teens. So it's very, you know, a little edgier, a little more fun, and relatable to teenagers. And if you're being bullied, if your child is being bullied and you need some support, you can always contact us at bullying411@pacer.org. And we respond to all of those, and we try to provide what resources and support that we can.
So, Sarah, just so that I'm clear, the one that's for kids and for teens, they can find that on the pacer.org/bullying site? Or is that one on the bullying 411?
Yes, the URLs for those, they're linked to on the pacer.org/bullying site. The URLs for those sites are kidsagainstbullying.org and teensagainstbullying.org.
Okay. That clears that up for me. All right. Thank you so much for being with us. I know you have other things that you have to do, so you're welcome to listen if you want, but I definitely want to thank you for taking some time out to help us just kind of set a definition just for the basis of our discussion this evening. So thank you, Sarah.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. All right. So let's begin our discussion. And I posted something on Facebook because I kind of wanted to check whether or not this was a topic that people would be willing to talk about, that people would call in and be willing to kind of share their stories. And so I usually check the temperature for shows like this on Facebook, and I posted a question, and that question said, is bullying worse now than it was in our generation, meaning people who grew up in the 70s and in the 80s? And there were some people that believe that we have created this super sensitive generation with timeout instead of whoopings by parents and swats by teachers. And today's generation, they wear helmets, whereas, you know, we didn't do that as much in the 70s and 80s. They use hand sanitizers, antibacterial soaps. And so there's this whole notion that this generation has been sheltered and therefore not equipped to handle lower levels of bullying that can sometimes be negated early in the stages of bullying. And so and then it was said that 70s and 80s kids handled bullying differently, where most people admitted that they were taught to take a stand by fighting back. However, I think by the end of the discussion on my Facebook page, the majority of people agreed that while our generation believed in fighting fair, you live to fight another day, whereas today's generation have more access to guns and are more prone to shoot and stab and other violent methods, not to mention the element of cyberbullying. This generation, which I personally refer to as Generation IY, because they spend more time on iPhones, iPads, iPods, and they grew up with that, which makes it harder for them to escape bullying. Usually you would just see a bully on the way to school or on the way home from school. But with cyberbullying, now kids are, you know, often intimidated or humiliated in front of hundreds or thousands of people on social sites. And so, you know, by the end of the discussion on Facebook, I think my question was answered, that bullying is definitely a lot more serious now. It's not just, you know, pretty much the generation of kids not being tough skin. It's more than that. It's become very serious, and it was the reason why I decided to do this show today. So I want to play something because Sarah, she said, she gave us kind of the definition for bullying that her organization uses, and I think we shouldn't take lightly when it's just name-calling, because there's some people who feel like if it's name-calling, it's not really bullying. But, you know, name-calling can, you know, bring up feelings for kids. It can lead to other things, and I don't think we should take that lightly. I want you to listen to this clip. I'm going to play it. I heard it, and it really hit me hard.
Died in May of 2009 as a result of being bullied, and he's being really terribly physically bullied as well as being verbally bullied. And what a lot of people don't realize is that even though physical bullying, you might hear about it more and it might get more attention, verbal bullying can be just as damaging to someone, and it tends to go under the radar a lot more often because kids know that they can say whatever nasty thing that they want to say to someone and no teacher is going to do anything about it. And when someone's getting verbally bullied constantly, they begin to believe what the bully's saying about them, no matter how hard they try not to. And it just affects their self-esteem and completely affects their self-image and can even cause them to commit suicide, like in Daniel's case. And what a lot of adults don't get is they think that, oh, why doesn't anyone just tell that they're being bullied and everything would be A-okay and the teachers would all take care of it and everything would be great? And that's not true at all, because Daniel did tell the teachers that he was being bullied, and they didn't do enough for him. And all they did was talk to the bullies, and they didn't even really care that they were being talked to. And they just called Daniel a snitch and made the bullying 1,000 times worse than it had even been in the first place. So adults, basically, they can pretend that they know how to handle it as much as they want, but it's basically more up to kids to step up if they see someone being bullied. Like, if you see someone being bullied, all you have to do is step in and say, that's not cool. Because the bully is just making fun of people for fun and to try to seem like they're cool and that they have so much power that they can do this. But if they know that what they're doing isn't being approved of, they're going to stop because they know it's making them look bad, and that's what they really care about. So that's why it's up to us as kids to step up to combat bullying. That's what we're trying to do. So please join us in to just fight bullying every day. Thank you.
All right, so that was a clip that we just heard. And I think it's important for kids to understand and take a stand against bullying. If you see other kids bullying someone else, you know, take a stand. Let them know that that's not cool, you know, and that diffuses the bully. Now they're not the popular one or the funny one or things like that. And so... So I want to encourage you. Sarah gave us a couple of sites that you can go to join some of their campaigns and some of their organizations. Again, that was kidsagainstbullying.org. All right, and then their main site is pacers.org/bullying. Okay, I want to hear from you. We have some people on the line who have expressed that they have been bullied in the past. I think we'll start with Marcy, because she's the one who posted something on Facebook that really got my attention. Marcy works at Head Start, so this is actually happening at a very early age. Marcy, are you there?
I am, Sylvia. Thank you.
Thank you. So can you just start by sharing some of the incidents that you've seen there at Head Start, you know, the preschool that you work at?
Sylvia, I just have to go back and thank you for bringing this up on Facebook. A lot of times we don't want to address things that we see, whether it's in the community or if it's in our work area. And I agree with what the young lady said in her clip, that a lot of times we don't want to get involved, even if we're teachers or educators. But myself, as you stated, I work for Head Start, so I'm dealing with children at a very young age. We start our children in my center at 3 years old. So we're seeing, we don't like to stereotype it as bullying, but we're seeing aggression with children at a very, very early age. And if you want to give it a name, you can call it bullying, but they're getting it from somewhere, whether it's in the environment that they're living in, whether it's with the play that they're doing. It's out there, and we see it every day. I see it every day, children coming to school and pushing other children around or saying, I don't like you, I'm not going to be your friend. You know, those types of statements, if we don't head it now, if we don't head it at this age, it's going to get worse and worse and worse as the children become middle school, junior high, high school. And again, with the cyberbullying, you mentioned that. We see it every day. It's difficult. It's difficult when I go into a classroom as an administrator and try to give instruction to teachers on how to handle aggression in children that are doing these types of behaviors. And one of our questions is, one, where are they getting it from? Where are they seeing it? Well, many aspects. Again, a lot of times it starts at home because the environment that some of these children are in, they may be seeing their parents fighting, they may be seeing siblings fighting, and things of that nature. And so where do we go?
Right. And Marcy, you're with a difficult age group, you know, because you may have some kids that are in their terrible twos and they're just discovering that they have teeth and they're biting and they don't really mm-hmm. mean anything by it, but it's hurtful to other kids. And, mm-hmm. you know, while sometimes it could be that they've seen some aggression at home, whereas other times there may be no aggression at home. They may have never seen their parents fight, but it's just an aggressive kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've just got to teach that kid how to channel that in a positive direction. And that's why you have mm-hmm. kids that go in a direction of sports and where they can let out all this energy and sometimes aggression if they're football players, you know. But it could just be a child like that, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so you're at a difficult age because how do you know if it's just an aggressive kid who's just, you know, they're teething and they're biting people and they're in their terrible twos, or if this is
mm-hmm.
a situation that is really, really a problem that you need to step in
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, parents, you know,
mm-hmm.
you got to help us out here with your kid. So how do you distinguish between the two?
And I'm glad you brought that point up. What we try to do is go into the home. We do home visits or we do center visits, and we bring the parents in, or we go to the parent and we say, we see this type of behavior in the classroom. And a lot of times the parents will, their first thought to tell us is, well, I don't see that at home. And a lot of times that's true. A lot of times children behave much differently at home or at school, you know, depending on the situation. But one of the things we do,
especially if they're an only child, right? If they're an only child, they may not see that kid act that way at home.
Exactly.
But when they get around other kids, now that brings that out of them.
Right. So one of the things that we do is through observation and, of course, note-taking and that kind of thing. But what's difficult for the age that we deal with is the communication barrier. A lot of times children don't have the words tell you what's going on. They don't know
mm-hmm.
how to, especially at a young age, 2, 3 years old. And if you have a child at that age that also has a speech problem, it's even more difficult for that children to tell you what's going on. That
mm-hmm.
children might have that child might have a toothache that day, and you know they don't know how to tell you that they have a toothache, so they're being mean and they're being aggressive, just like an animal. An animal can't tell you that they're hurting. So one, they're either going to bite you, or they're going to scratch you, or something's going on in that child's head causing them to do this aggressive behavior. So how do we get that out? One, again, through talking to the parents and saying, you know, what are you seeing at home? You know, what happened at home? Did something happen at home last night? Maybe there was a family situation, and it could be anything. It doesn't necessarily mean that the parents are fighting at home. but it could be a traumatic experience that the child is seeing the mm-hmm. parents go through. It could
right.
be a death in the family. There's a lot of variations as to why children are behaving this way, but you have to have an open line of communication, and that's the first place we start, is with the parent or with the caregiver to find out what's going on both at home and at our school facility to try to mesh in to come to some sort of agreement as to why the child is behaving in any particular way to
right.
clear the behavior first. And then our second tool is once we come to some agreement as to why the child is behaving in a particular way, how are we going to handle it? How do we give the child words to tell us what's going on when they don't have the words themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. So thank you for sharing that with us. I think it's important for us to hear that this is happening, you know, at a very early age. Marcy, can you tell us, what do you want to say to the parents? I mean, you work at the school, but if you could get a message across to the parents who have kids that age that are at Head Start or in preschool, what do you need them to help you with for a child that age, that small?
I think the first thing, Sylvia, that I really would like to say is communication. Don't always, a lot of times what I see is the parent want to say, no, not my child. And they think that you're attacking them as a parent or attacking their child. So the first thing for them to do is go on the defense. You know, I want to say as an educator and as a supervisor with over 15-plus years experience in this, it's not about attacking you or your character as a parent. It's about the child and what's best for the child in any situation. So, mm-hmm. you know, don't always go on the defense when a person or an educator or anybody comes to you and say, your child did this or is acting in this particular way. There's always a reason behind it. And I just would like to say, you know, keep the open line of communication and don't always want to first say, no, not my child, and go on the defense. You know, be able to listen. And the same way for educators, sometimes we want to go in there and we think that we have all the answers, and we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have an open mind as well to know what situation you're going into and be willing to listen to the parent, their side of the conversation as well, and be able to come to some sort of agreement as to what's going on with the child, because the child's always first. You always have to put the child first.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you, Marcy. And if you have another comment that you want to make at a later time, just press 1 and we'll put you back through. Let's hear from some people who have been bullied before. We actually have Michelle on the line. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, Sylvia. Hey.
Hi. Would you like to
Hi.
Share your experience about being bullied as you were growing up?
Oh, God. It's sad. My particular story would take you two, sometimes three shows, because I saw it from a standpoint from actually, since we're from the same hometown, you can understand. I saw it from Garfield until literally I was at Ohio University. And just for myself, and then I saw it, you know, through my children, and I saw it because I used to be a substitute teacher, so I saw it in every way, pretty much that you can see it, even to the point where bullying leaped over into sexual harassment for me, and I know the damage that it did, you know, to me. It was mostly things for me. Females can be each other's worst enemies, and my biggest issue was with females, and anything. It went from being talked about to, you know, excuse my language, you know, being called bitches and whores and sluts, and if you had a boyfriend and you saw me speak to them, then there was an issue with that. And, you know, I can't say how I could have stood up if it were to a point where it is now where you can have cyberbullying and social media bullying. I don't know how I would have made it, because the only thing a lot of times that saved me was that I just had just a couple of friends who kind of stuck with me and kept me through it. I was fortunate to never want to kill myself, but when I would leave Steubenville, if it was a family break or vacation or whatever, I never wanted to come back. And it took me years until probably I was nearly 50 to reconcile myself with what happened to me and the way that I could deal with being from Steubenville. And I mean, I had things like I couldn't go to the bathrooms in the high school when everybody else could go. I was one of the only students that was allowed to go after the bell had rung. And none of the, you know, and I was allowed to go to the restroom in the principal's office because you could lock the bathroom doors from the inside, and I couldn't afford to be trapped inside of Big Red's bathrooms, you know, because you couldn't get through those doors. I was actually allowed to carry mace to school. A lot of people didn't know that, but I was allowed to carry mace to school. There was a trace on our telephone. My parents
Wow.
would get phone calls. Yeah, my parents, if I was out of the house, my parents were always, you know, worried to death, because my parents would get phone calls from a particular person saying things like, she's going to come home in a body bag, or, you know, if I was supposed to be home at 11 and I wasn't home until 11:30, I would get home and my parents would be sitting there waiting on me white as sheets, because they were just that terrified for me anywhere that I went. And honestly, they needed to be. They honestly had to be that worried for me to for anywhere that I went. I quit going to Big Red's football games my sophomore year because I would turn around. For me, I would have packs of boys behind me pinching me and pulling on my clothes and doing things to me that I was literally walking rape. So I wouldn't, it made me weirdly seclude myself from other people, and people thought, oh, well, Michelle, you're so popular and blah, 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 but I tell people a lot of times you didn't realize that Fridays and Saturdays I was at home because there was no place for me to be safe at. You know, I mean, your friends are only going to stand up for you for so much, and then after that, what do you do? I learned about the juvenile court system as a sophomore in high school, because we had to go because we were harassed so badly by a particular person. And, I mean, it takes you a long time to realize what you can grow past and what you have to forgive. If I were not raised in a Christian home, I don't know who I would be. My parents would always tell me, you have to forgive, you have to forgive, you have to forgive. And I hated that because I didn't feel like anybody was doing anything for me. And my parents would literally make me pray for people who were doing me so wrong. And I hated that. But now that I'm older, I understand why they did that. But when you're a kid, you don't understand why you have to do that. And you don't understand exactly why you... You know, I could be okay with boys, but I could hardly ever be okay with girls. And,
right.
You know, I just, we're horrible to each other.
Right. So, Michelle, how did it eventually end? How did the bullying stop for you?
My two primary female bullies, the one in particular, by the time I was a freshman in college, was the last incident I had with that person where, you know, I was bullied. And it was generally over, you know, a boy. That's what women or females can do, is they'll get ugly with each other about a boy regardless. And eventually it just was like I guess the person sort of petered out and talked to me, wound up talking to me, and I talked to them. And I couldn't, and I told them I couldn't understand why you were always doing that. I knew that they weren't raised to be that way. I knew other family members of theirs that weren't that way, but it was just I had a target on my forehead, and that was all that mattered to her. But I just winding up talking to her, and the only thing I remember them ever saying to me was, I felt like you had people that I wanted. They loved you and liked you different than they liked me. And that's the only conclusion that I got from that particular person, and it finally, you know, fell away, you know. And I did, have to learn to forgive.
Oh, okay. That was going to be my question. Were you able to ever forgive them for that?
Ooh, honey, it was hard. It was hard because it was my existence. Yeah, it was my everyday existence.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I know that is
a
personal story and sometimes a painful story to even relive or rehash, but hopefully by sharing your story, you empower and you help others, you know, to just an adult or tell a teacher or something like that. So, so thank you for that,
Michelle. Yeah, I didn't do that, And it, out of any of this, and you probably will have to have a part two, our biggest issue for me is to see if we can do anything with females for this, because we're worse than boys. I really do believe that we are. So if there's anything that could be done where girls are dealt with to not do this and have more love and respect for themselves, maybe it'll make a difference, because boys are the audience, but girls are the worst fighters.
That's interesting. Okay, well, I'm going to put you on mute, Michelle, and then if you have anything else you want to say, just press 1, and we'll put you back through.
Okay, thanks, Sylvia.
Michelle said something interesting. I think as children or while you're at school, I think it's important. I can't help but wonder if some of her friends who saw this happening, who saw her having to use a separate restroom, you know, if they would have only just kind of stepped up and said, hey, that is not cool. Like, stop that. You know, we don't, and just say how they don't support that and they don't like that. And I can't help but wonder how that could have helped her situation. And so, you know, we talked about earlier, Sarah talked about how there's some initiatives that kids can join to help them find a voice and taking that stand, you know, and not just kind of turning away and acting and pretending like they don't see it or even laughing to fuel the fire of it. We're going to hear from a little girl by the name of Raven. She's actually 10 years old, and she is involved in, you know, taking a stand against bullying. Raven, are you there? Hello, area code 252.
Hi.
Hi, Raven. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Now, I want to thank you for being on the show last week, and now you are one of our dedicated listeners, and I understand that you actually went to the Tar Heels game and met Ivory Latta in person. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow. So now you're a Tar Heel fan. You're an honorary Tar Heel now. Now, Raven, this week we're talking about bullying, and can you tell us how you've taken a stand against bullying?
Well, I never really dealt with bullying in school because I always kind of had a good group of friends at school, but I have seen cyberbullying in kid chat rooms or on gaming sites that allow for kids to chat, and people sometimes do what is called trolling, where they say mean things to try and get your attention or a bad response from you. And I'm with Team Kiki Palmer, who's with Saving Our Daughters in the anti-bullying campaign to stand against bullying. And Saving Our Daughters teamed up with the Suicide Prevention Hotline. So I just wanted to say basically that if anyone listening knows someone dealing with bullying or thoughts of suicide, or if you just want to learn about how to handle bullying or suicide prevention, they can visit www.suicidepreventionlifeline.org or they can call 1-800-273-8255.
Wow, Raven, I think you're going to replace me as a Blog Talk Radio host. You did a good job. Well, I want to thank you for taking a stand against bullying and letting people at your school know that that is not okay. I am so proud of you. I can't wait to see what you're going to be when you grow up, probably President of the United States. Raven, you are now on mute, and we're going to talk to your father in just a few minutes. But I have Danielle on the line. Danielle is a teacher. And so one of the statistics that I saw that said every 7 minutes a child is bullied on school grounds. Danielle, are you there?
I am.
Can you tell us what grade do you teach, first of all?
I teach first grade.
First grade, okay. So how is your school system handling bullying?
I am teaching in a Catholic school right now, and in mm-hmm. this school it's not tolerated at all. Every mm-hmm. now and then you'll have a situation where, you know, kids are teasing and picking, and immediately it's the teacher's job, like we're trained to immediately nip it in the butt, like right then and there. We have to pull the kids out and say something, you know, and let the parents know, because a lot of people, you know, they do encourage their children, you know, he or she has a voice, which is very true, but, you know, especially me, I'm not going to allow that to be an excuse. I have to deal with it if, you know, they're harassing another child, affecting their mental stability and their emotional growth. I will not have it. So, I mean,
right.
I need to take things into my own hand pretty much. There's not really a specific procedure in the school,
mm-hmm.
but they just
mm-hmm.
ask that we deal with it immediately so it doesn't escalate on school grounds.
Right. And so so we heard from Marcy, and she actually works at a Head Start preschool, and now your school is as kindergarten through 12?
K through 8.
K through 8. And so on that level, like once they start kindergarten, what is it that you need parents to know in order to kind of help you manage bullying? Is there something that you always wanted to say to parents? How can they help you on their end at home?
I let parents know that, you know, to definitely encourage their children that, you know, to have a voice, but that if you know ahead of time that what you're going to say is going to hurt somebody, then don't say it at all. I always tell them I need the children to assess, you know, critical thing. Are my words kind? You know, are they positive? If they're not, then don't say it. Don't say it. And some kids are a little bit more outspoken, so I'll mm-hmm. tell the parents, okay, if the child has something to say, have them write a letter to me, and they can say whatever they want to me, and I will write
mm-hmm.
them back and see how that goes.
Right.
Sometimes it works, sometimes not really. We have kids
mm-hmm.
that we're working with because they're really, you know, outspoken and not in a nice
right.
way. It's kind of scary. But
Danielle, in your opinion, what is it going to take? I don't know if we can ever stop bullying,
mm-hmm.
but what is it going to take to take a stand, you know, to it and to eliminate some of it, you know, especially when it's very, very severe. Do you have an opinion about that as a teacher? Because you see them for more hours
yeah.
sometimes than their parents do, you know.
True.
They may get home at 6
yep.
o'clock, and they got to take their bath by 8, and they're in bed by 8:30, whereas you've seen them all through the day. So do you have an opinion about what it's going to take to deal with bullying?
I think, first of all, we have to be carefully consistent. I don't think it's only the parent can deal with it. I don't think only teachers can deal with it. I think it needs to be, you know, communities need to see the severity of it and also, you know, chip in, because, you know, some places the community is involved in bullying only because the community has been affected. Some people, they don't see it. They don't see it because it's sneaky, so they just don't think that it's a problem in their area. But
mm-hmm.
I think that they need to, everywhere, like dealing with any type of children all the way up to 12th grade specifically, they need to, you know, start giving awareness to the kids, because it happens, and it's bad, and it's ugly. And I've seen mm-hmm. kids get torn apart, leave school. It's sad. It's really sad. I don't know how. I need people with, like, you know, people that kids look up to actually say something. And hopefully they'll
right.
listen
so you,
more people.
Right. You bring up an interesting point. You need leaders in your school.
Yes.
To mm-hmm. use their leadership in a positive way for good. And I want to say something. I'm going to put myself out on a limb here. And I tried to actually find someone who used to be a bully, but nobody was courageous enough to come on the show. So I'll be honest. I have bullied someone before because I was, you know, when I was young, I was about 5'10" in the fifth grade. So I was taller than the boys. Danielle, I'm going to put you on mute because I'm just talking now.
Okay.
But thank you. Thank you for your comments, and we may come back to you later, so hang on with us. But I was taller than the boys. I was taller than my teachers. And so younger, I would say even before fifth grade, I didn't know how to deal with being the biggest kid. I didn't know what to do with that, you know. And so what I noticed is that kids followed me, and they did what I told them to do. And I wasn't sure if that was because I had a big old birthday party every year, and if they didn't do what I told them to do, they couldn't come to my birthday party. Now, my birthday's in September. I would say this, like, in November, you know, like, you're not coming to my birthday party. And so what I realized is that kids follow me, and they did what I told them to do. And so it gave me this false empowerment, you know, because I was tall, I was awkward, I was bigger than everyone else, and, you know, I felt like this was a way to make me popular, or this was a way to make me cool, or just kind of negate the fact that I was so much bigger than everyone else. And so I tended to bully kids. I tended to tell them to, you know, give me your stickers at school, or give me your, I forgot my lunch, so I'd take somebody else's lunch, you know. But the minute someone, and I couldn't even fight. I was just bigger than everybody else. So they were scared of me, and they followed me, you know. Later, and it took one time for somebody to just get fed up. They took a stand to me, and I looked in their eyes, and I knew, like, this person is willing to fight. And I didn't really want to fight. I just wanted the lunch. I wanted the stickers. I wanted what I wanted. But I didn't really want to fight somebody that was fed up and angry, and I wasn't coming from that space. I felt like this person could probably beat me, and then I'll be exposed, and everybody will know I'm not as tough as I'm pretending to be. And so as I got older, what I learned was that I had the gift of leadership, and I didn't know how to handle that or deal with that gift, you know, and so I used it in the wrong way. And it was later that, you know, my mother started to see this gift of leadership in me, and she started to nurture that in me and say, you know, you can't do this and you can't say that. And I felt like, Mom, it's the truth. It's the truth. And she said, well, some things are better left unsaid. And so I learned how to manage my mouth and manage how and think about what and how I said things to people and how that could be hurtful to people. And even as I got older, people started picking on me. Because I was, you know, by this now, in the sixth grade, I was 6 feet tall with a size 12 shoe. And so people were talking about my high waters. They're talking about, so I, you know, I naturally just wanted to kind of fight back. You know, you talk about me, I'm going to say something that's going to cut you so deep, and it's going to be true, so it's going to hurt, you know. And my mom had to help me manage that, you know, and even though they're picking on you, you got to learn how to say so what. So what, they said your pants are short. So what, they talked about your mama. So what, that didn't hurt me. So what? And so sometimes that's what's going on with bullies. And I think I keep iterating that if some of the other leaders or other peers at school would take a stand against that, you can negate a lot of it, you know, because they're trying, these kids are sometimes trying to be popular, or they're trying to put you down so that they can feel better about their irregular, you know, how they're created, or what's, you know, what they feel like is not normal about them. And so I just wanted to get that out there because I wanted a bully to be represented on the phone, not so that we can kind of come down on them, but just so that we can understand the mindset of why someone would do something like this, you know? Am I a bad person? No. Was I a kid that just didn't understand my gift as a leader? Yes, you know. And so so hopefully that helps to shed some light to some people who kind of don't understand why bullies do what they do, you know. And that was, I mean, I was a younger kid. Now, once kids get older and they're bullying and it becomes more severe, I mean, I can't really give an explanation for that. Let's see who else we have on the line. We actually have a coach, a women's basketball coach, on the line, and he is against bullying and started an initiative against bullying. And so we'll hear from him. I'll let him tell you all about that. Charlie, are you there?
How you doing, Sylvia? Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you? Can you talk about the program that your team kind of, you know, got involved with and some of the community activities that you did?
Sure. You know, we took an initiative. Since we had such a traveling schedule last year where we were going to all different parts of the country, we felt it was a really good program for us to go out and to reach out to different elementary schools across the country and take a little time out while we were on the road and go talk to these young kids and to kind of let them know about how bad bullying is and how much it can affect other people. And, you know, getting it from, you know, Division I college basketball players, you know, a lot of these kids really took it to heart, and I could see that they were paying attention. And when they walked out of there, it looked like to me that we had actually gotten through to them a little bit, and it was really rewarding, I think.
Oh, okay. And so what? Explain to us again, what's the name of the initiative that you started?
We just call it the Anti-Bullying Campaign. And so it was, you know, very simple. What we would do is we would, you know, we would go to an elementary school that we set up before we went on the trip, and the principal and stuff were always really happy to have us. And the players would all come up on a stage, and us as the coaches, we'd stand up, we'd introduce our team, and let them know from where all the players were from. And our team is very global. So we have players from Europe and Africa, and it's really, really extensive of how far they've come to play for us. And they all go up there with their accents and everything, and they let them know that no matter where you're from or no matter what you look like, bullying is unacceptable. And you know, if you're a bully, you're no good. You're no good to us. And and the kids really would, you know, they would really kind of lock in with these players as they were speaking. And we did little things like songs and stuff, kind of, you know, they get the kids to kind of sing along with us. And we took pictures with them afterwards in the crowd and everything. And we felt like we really kind of hit home, because I think it starts at a young age. I think, you know, we were talking about, you know, how, you know, you were courageous enough to come on and say about how, you know, you're guilty of bullying when you were young and you didn't know much better. Well, I think that's where it starts. It starts when you're a young kid and, you know, your parents don't, you know, slap you on the hand and let you know that's not right. Don't do that. If you do that, you're going to be in trouble. A lot of times, you know, parents are very irresponsible with not, you know, the kid that's being bullied, but the kid that's the bully. And they see it at home. They see it with their peers. They see it with their siblings. And they think it's okay. So, there, you know, as much as I think you have to have a balance of where you got to stand up for yourself and be taught that way, there is situations that are just too high to overcome. You know, they're outnumbered and somebody's just so much bigger than you and stuff like that. There needs to be a confidence that you can go to somebody and it's going to be dealt with seriously so it won't continue.
Well, thank you so much, Charlie, for sharing that. And hopefully this catches on with other basketball teams across the country is what I'm hoping, because, you know, there's a whole nother level of bullying when it comes to the situation of maybe hazing on teams, you know,
what's going on in the Miami Dolphins right now.
Oh, yeah, Miami Dolphins. There's a guy that got kicked off the team for bullying a teammate, and he left.
Right.
He left the
NFL.
He left millions of dollars because he's being bullied. And so who
That's
knows
right.
what was being
That's
said
right.
to him
I mean,
in the locker room
a
grown or at
man,
practice.
A grown man willing to walk away from a professional team because he couldn't take coming to the office every day. That was his job. He couldn't take coming to the office every day because he didn't want to feel like that every day. And that, you know, a lot of people have their opinions about, oh, toughen up, and he's a grown man, and, you know, you got to be tougher than that. And I could understand there's a median there where you have to, you know, fend for yourself, but then also, you know, you could see now that it happens at a grown age, at a high level. I mean, I've had it as a coach on my level, you know, where I've had players that would pick on other players. And, of course, if I seen it, I'm very sensitive towards bullying. I would jump right in there, and I would make sure that person that was bullying was, made an example of. You know, and I've had players had been disciplined and run around for an hour around the gym while we practiced up because of bullying or being a thug in practice. And I always told, make sure I took the player to the side that was getting bullied and let them know, I was here for you today, and I'm always going to be here for you. But you got to also remember there's going to be times where you're going to be by yourself, and you've got to fend for yourself as best as you can.
Yeah. And you know, it happens with the seniors and the freshmen. You know, if the freshmen come in, you know, the upperclassmen are telling them that you need to have the balls out and ready for practice, and you better be on the track at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, and it was tradition, you know, that's been passed down year after year on many teams, on many college teams, on NFL football teams, NBA basketball teams. That's just kind of the way it's been for years. And it started to escalate, you know, to the point where at Boston College, where I was the head coach, we, you know, as a athletic department, we have meetings. Every coach in a department, we had a no hazing tolerance level. You know, there was no hazing whatsoever. And so they defined what hazing was. You know, you cannot make the freshmen carry the medical equipment to the bus, and, you know, and there's so many things that these teams were doing, you know, whereas it was triggering bullying, and it was escalating and developing into something much bigger. And so I want to thank you for taking a stand against it and even getting your players involved, because now that they're out there and they're talking about it, it holds them accountable. Now they can't be bullies, you know, and they're looked at, you know, they're athletes, so there are little girls who look up to them, and if they're taking a stand, it makes it cool to take a stand against it, you know. So I applaud what you're doing there, and hopefully it'll catch on like wildfire across the country with other programs. Thank you, Charlie.
No. Hey, listen, it's the least we could do. You know, our players are going to school, and they're on scholarship, and, you know, they've got to this point in their life where they've had the confidence to go off and be a Division I athlete and play at a high level, and like yourself. You know, it's a privilege. So our players love to give back, and this was an opportunity for us. I mean, when we travel, we like to people to remember Robert Morris Women's Basketball. We like them to know that, you know, we're a program that stands for good things. So when we were on the road, it was easy for us. You know, we took days, you know, we'd go to shoot around day of the game, and then we'd go to an elementary school on the way back. And, you know, it was like 15, 20 minutes, but these kids were just so excited to see us. And if we changed a few lives in that room where they were able to now see, you know what, I don't want to be a bully. You know, bullying isn't cool. And it starts at that young age. That's how I feel, at least, because I remember how much bullying went on when I was a kid. I was lucky enough not to be bullied too much, but I witnessed other people being bullied. And I just look back and I say that really probably affected these people's lives, you know, down the road.
Right. Okay, so, Charlie, I'm going to put you on mute. Thank you for sharing with us. And if you think of anything else you want to say, press 1. But, Charlie, I want to encourage you to go a step further, and maybe you're already doing this, but maybe you have a game where you're just promoting, you know, to stop bullying, you know, take a stand against bullying or whatever the name of your initiative is. You have that game where that's the focus of the game, you know, and you invite kids to the game, and you just kind of spread this word. There are a lot of people actually on the call, because I'm from Steubenville, Ohio, so there are a lot of people from the Pittsburgh and Steubenville area. So, Charlie, I'm putting you back on. Can you tell everybody how they can follow your program and your team? What's your team's website with the schedule?
Sure. Okay, if you go on rmucolonials.com, That's Robert Morris University, colonials.com, RMU, colonials.com. You go on there and you can follow the whole athletic department. If you just click on women's sports, women's basketball, you know, it's constantly updated with, you know, our games and the active stuff we're doing in the community, you know, our preseason picks and all that. It's a really great way to follow us. Also, we do have a Facebook page. Just go on Facebook and put in the search bar Robert Morris University Women's Basketball, and you'll be able to see that. And we'll update with pictures and stuff like this that we're doing in the community, especially with our bullying campaign. You could also follow us on Twitter, you know, the social media. We got outlets to all that. So,
right.
And if anybody ever wants a chance to come out and see a game or when we're on the road, if we're in your area, don't hesitate to send me an email. And my email is right on the website. Just look for Charlie Biscaglia under the coaches section.
All right, you heard it right there. If you're in the Steubenville or Pittsburgh area, go out and support Robert Morris University Women's Basketball because they are against bullying. So thank you, Charlie, for that. That was great. We're going to hear from another young lady. She's 10 years old. This is Kayla, area code 630. Kayla, are you there?
Yep.
Did you have something that you wanted to share?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. One of the boys in my class, he's very cranky and mean. And sometimes he's nice to me, sometimes he's mean. I don't know what the problem is. But one day when I said, why did my mom put a whole bowl of pasta in my lunch and a piece of chicken? And he said, because you're too skinny, girl. You're skinnier than a stick I saw outside. And I was like, well, that was mean. And then my friends were like, dude, that was seriously mean. And they were, like, saying, you shouldn't have said that, and et cetera. And then the next day, our teacher was talking about how powerful your words are. And she gave us this chart that spelled out the word kind, and the K was for kind, and was what you're saying is kind, and the I was for what are you saying is intelligent, and the N is for was it nice or was it negative, and the D and that is it doing good to the other person. And so he just looked at me with his eyes all wide, and I was like, that wasn't nice either, was it, when you said it to me? So
right.
All my friends were looking at him, and he just had his eyes all wide.
Okay, so now, did you tell your mom about this incident?
Yep.
You did? And so, you know, did your mom go to the school and talk to the teacher, or did she talk to you about how to handle this?
She just talked to me about how to handle it.
Okay. And so when your friend started to say, hey, man, that's not cool, did the guy who said that, did he start to back down a little bit?
No, he just started laughing and then said, ah, ha, 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 I'm sorry. And
so he did apologize, though. So,
he apologized. Really sorry.
He did? Okay.
Yeah, he's still talking about it.
Right. And so, so you've been listening to the show, so you know when you see other people being bullied, you know how it made you feel. And that it made you feel bad when he said that. And so when you see other people being bullied, now you have compassion in your heart to take a stand and say, hey, that's not cool. Leave her alone. Leave him alone. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else you want to say, Kayla, before I put you on hold?
Yeah.
That's it? Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Little thing. There is this one little kindergartner I saw at my school, and he was sick for a couple of days, so he had lots and lots of homework. And so some of the girls in his class came over and were all teasing him, saying, wow, you have so much homework, I don't have a lot. And he started crying and was getting frustrated and stuff because he was having a hard time with some of his homework, and they just kept laughing and pointing at him, and all the girls came over and stuff. And I was like, hey, stop it. And they were like, oh, man, fifth grader, and they laughed.
But you were older than them, so you were able to say something so that they would know that wasn't okay. So good for you. Good job. Now, I want to challenge you, Kayla, to go on some of the websites that we we named so that you can get involved with taking a stand against bullying. So it's kidsagainstbullying.org and then pacers.org/bullying. All right, so I'm putting you on hold. Thank you for sharing, Kayla. Those two stories, you know, those were a story where you were bullied and you witnessed someone else being bullied and you took a stand. We have one last person that we're going to hear from. This is a parent of someone who's been bullied. Dawn, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Dawn.
I am.
Can you tell our listeners? I'm good. Can you tell our listeners how your daughter has been bullied at school?
I'll try not to cry. It's really been a nightmare. It started when she was in seventh grade, and she's biracial. I'm white, and her father's black, and we adopted her in seventh grade. She was a really good basketball player. And, you know, she came to your camp a couple of years.
She came to my camp at Boston College.
And do you remember when she actually scored against the girls' Boston College team and you
mm-hmm.
came down out of the stands and high-fived her? She
mm-hmm.
was good. And
mm-hmm.
in seventh grade, she couldn't wait to try out. She was so excited. And about a week after tryouts that I didn't know anything about, one of the moms said to me, "Why didn't your daughter try out for basketball?" And I go, "Well, she never brought anything home." She goes, "Well, it was last week." So I started, you know, questioning her, and she wasn't really saying anything. And then finally she started crying, and she said that my daughter she's very quiet, keeps to herself. She's a tomboy through and through, hoodies, tennis shoes, blue jeans. She wears a dress twice a year when I make her, Easter and Christmas.
mm-hmm.
And so the kids, some of the girls told her that she was a boy, and since she was a boy, she shouldn't be allowed to try out for the girls' basketball team. She should have to try out for the boys' basketball team. And they called her gay and all this other stuff and, you know, called her the N-word. It shocks me because I graduated more than 30 years ago, and I hear that word being called to these kids more, and I hate that word. I absolutely hate that word. I hear these kids being called that more now than I heard it 30 years ago when I was in school. And so she didn't try out seventh grade. Eighth grade, she tried out. Last day of practice, one of the bullies went and told one of the biggest girls in her class, who happened to be African-American, that Britton called her the N-word. And she didn't. I mean, she's biracial. Her father's black. But this girl didn't believe her, and she physically attacked Britt, and Britt fought back. Well, they both got suspended.
Mm-hmm.
It was the last day of basketball, so she didn't get to make eighth grade team. So then this year, she's a freshman in high school. She went to the first tryout. I don't know what happened. She still hasn't told me. With her, it could be weeks before she finally tells me what happened. But something happened because we picked her up Tuesday at 6 o'clock when it was over. We picked her up Wednesday at 6 o'clock when it was over. But Wednesday when I got there, some of the parents were coming out. And I went in because some of the parents were coming out with paper. So I went in to see what was going on, and she wasn't in there. And one of the girls that knows her said, "Oh, she hasn't been here since Monday. She actually went to basketball tryout from 4 to 6 and hid in the girls' bathroom for 2 hours because she wouldn't go out on the floor. And the actual head coach wasn't there. She was out of town, and the other people didn't realize that she wasn't there. And so nobody called me. I just assumed she was there. But she's had other incidents where when she was in 7th grade, an 8th grader just started picking on her on the school bus and told her, and you know, my daughter was like, "Well, why don't you like me? Why are you being mean to me?" And she was like, "Because you're the N-word, and you just watch. I'm going to beat you till you turn white." And then she actually sent that to her in a message on Facebook, and I took a screenshot of it. I went to the police department. We made a police report. we went to the school. The school said they couldn't do anything about it because it was after school hours. Already this year, she's been called the N-word twice. And it's just like, as a parent, you don't want to see your kid hurting.
Right.
And as a parent, it's so frustrating because you just, I feel like my hands are tied. I feel like there's nothing I can do because when she was in seventh grade, my husband and I was at the junior high, I think as much as she was. And there were times she would call me from her cell phone crying. She's hiding in the girls' bathroom because these girls want to jump her for no reason. And I'd be on my way to the school, and the school would call and go, well, she never showed up for her last class. And I'm like, yeah, she's hiding in the bathroom again. You know, like I'm on my way there. And I don't know what the answer is. I just know that it's sad. I mean, she has actually been threatening suicide since seventh grade. And there's nothing worse knowing she's had a really bad day and putting her to bed at night, not knowing what I'm going to find in the morning when I go to wake her up. I can't even describe that to anybody, you know. And these kids need to realize that just because you're just saying one thing to this child, you don't know what this child's already been through. That little girl that jumped off that cement thing in Florida, that, like, devastated me. She was, like, she's 2 years younger than my daughter. And just knowing what my daughter goes through, these people, these kids don't, they just think they're being cute. They think they're being funny. Some of them, I think, just straight up want to be mean. But they need to realize, like, just one thing that you say to this child, that might be what's going to put them over the edge. It's going to make them walk and jump off a building or hang themselves or whatever, however they're doing it nowadays, you know.
Right.
They need to realize. And I think there needs to be laws that if these kids do cause another child to commit suicide, they need to be brought up on charges because they did it, you know. I don't know what the answer
is. Hold on. Can you tell me, and maybe you can help some of the parents who are on this call, what were some of the signs that you saw in your daughter that let you know that she was being bullied?
Well, you know what? She, when she was younger, she was the cutest, sweetest, happiest little girl ever. Like, people just loved her. Total strangers would come up to us and say, oh, my gosh, you have the sweetest little girl. We didn't even realize that there was a little girl in the restaurant, and she's so well-behaved, and she's so pretty, and she's smiling. And one day, like, probably, like, I don't know, 9 weeks or so into seventh grade, we were sitting at the table, and we were having dinner, and my husband, he's a cut-up. He's always making us laugh. And he did something, and she just began to belly laugh. Well, I burst into tears. And my husband looked at me, and I said, her laughing like that made me realize it's been months since I've seen her laugh like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew then, like, something's not right. Like, and when it's so gradual, you don't realize that she goes from this bubbly, happy child to this just withdrawn, sad, never laugh, never smile, stay in a room. You know, and she's in therapy. We're getting her help. She's very active in her youth group, which they've been amazing helping with her and everything. But I would say that definitely the personality change from wanting to be with us all the time and laughing and joking and wanting to go out and do things to just wanting to be in her bedroom with the door shut, never smiling, never laughing. That was the biggest sign for us.
Right. Well, Dawn, I want to thank you for sharing your story, and I think that you are doing the right thing by getting her counseling and getting her involved in youth groups and things like that, and especially just letting her know how beautiful she is, you know, and that, you know, she's beautiful just the way she is. She was made that way on purpose for a reason, you know, and just esteeming her as much as you can at home so that she can build enough strength to go back out and face another day. And I'm sure you're doing that because, you know, I've interacted with you at the camp, and you guys are two of the most supportive parents I've ever met to drive your kid all the way to Boston College or fly or however you got there from Ohio. You know, so I think that you're doing the right things, you know, and hopefully this will get better for Brittany. Dawn, I'm going to put you on hold. As we start to wrap up, Dawn talked about some signs that she saw in her daughter, and I want to just name a few things, because sometimes it's not easy to determine if your child is being bullied or going through just normal emotions associated with growing up. And so here are some things that some of the organizations that I looked up, these are the ones that they all had in common, which were signs that you could tell if your child is being bullied. They were acting differently in general, general anxiety about school and school events, shifts in online activity, so large increases or reduction in their online activities, looking down frequently, avoiding eye contact, more somber modes, and we heard Dawn talk about that a little bit. Schoolwork grades are negatively affected, eating more or less than usual, difficulty sleeping or sleeping more hours, agitated and jumpy, paranoid, asking questions such as, what if I'm homeschooled and stuff like that, spending more hours reading and studying even when other kids are around and being social, quieter in class, lunch, and recess. That throws up a red flag, recess if they're quiet. Skipping school and social events, crying, moody, depressed, angry, and increased fighting with siblings and parents, and then nightmares was the last one that all those sites had in common. So, you know, sometimes it can be a nightmare to be humiliated and harassed every day and feel that there's nothing that you can do about it. Bullies are often threatened by saying, they're threatened by saying, if you tell anyone or do anything, that they will make it tougher on you. But be sure to tell an adult. If you're a kid and you're being bullied, be sure to tell an adult. Don't keep it a secret. Bullies count on that. Silence is golden in this case. So it's important to remember that you haven't done anything wrong and nobody has the right to make your life unhappy. Don't let them. So if you're listening and you're being bullied, I want you to know three things. You are not alone. There are real solutions that will work to stop the torment. And three, you can get beyond this and back to being happy. I want to reiterate the website that Sarah talked about from the PACERS National Bullying Prevention Center. That website is www.pacer.org/bullying. And then the organizations that the kids can get involved in is againstbullying.org and teensagainstbullying.org. And then there's a hotline number. If you're a kid on this call, if you're a parent of a child who's being bullied, there's a hotline, website, and it's bullying411@pacer.org. That's actually an email address where you can email them the situation that you're going through. They will hit you back immediately. And I will say this. In preparing for this call, I reached out to 7 to 8 different national bullying organizations. And out of all of those, the PACERS organization was the one that called me back. I just said I was calling in regards to bullying prevention. I didn't say what I wanted. I didn't say, you know, anything like that, and I left my number. And so there were many organizations that never called me back. They never emailed me back, and I started this process on Thursday. And today is Monday, and I still haven't heard from them. However, the PACER organization got right back to me. They were very helpful. They were willing to come on the show and say and do anything that they can. And they provided the hotline email address, which is bullying411@pacers.org. That's my time. Take a stand against bullying. Let people know it's not acceptable. Parents, do what you can to explain to your kids, esteem them, and love them at home. If your kid is a bully, teach them that that's wrong and nip it in the bud early. And hopefully we can make this a better situation for everybody. That's my time. You're listening.
Tell me what you want. Tell me what you see. Where you want to go. Tell me what you want, tell me what you see, where you wanna go, what you wanna be. If you have a dream, you can make it there with a lot of work and a lot of prayer. If you take your time, gotta be precise, gotta have a plan, double check it twice, wait. Hold up, slow down. Still gon' need advice. Someone's gone before, maybe talk to them. Then after you do, go and talk to him. Great, it's gonna come, maybe not tonight. Take your time today, future's looking bright.
Got a lot of friends, made a lot of ends. Twitter, you the trend, him a Bentley Benz. But you moving kinda fast. Keep sweats, you gotta make it last. Live every day like it's your last. But don't forget to have a blast.